A quadruple killer is now absolutely beside himself because he doesn't like the type of bananas he's being given at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution. He just doesn't like them. That's right. Karen Koberger has officially filed complaints about fruit, food, and even other inmates not treating him so nicely. Tonight, we break down every meltdown, grievance, complaint, and demand from the man the internet is now referring to as a jailhouse Karen.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, STS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the show that brings you the very best guests in all of true crime. We do it day in and day out, and every once in a while, I fly solo, and that is what's happening today as we dive deep into Karen Koberger and what's behind this absolute flurry of complaints from him about different grievances he has while he is holed up at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, a place that I had a chance to visit when I was at Brian Koberger's sentencing. And it is the place that Brian Koberger will be calling home for probably the next 40 to 50 years, if there's not some sort of prison justice that is ultimately meted out. And right now, it seems like the surrounding inmates in his surrounding neighborhood, in his surrounding block, are not too fond of him. And that is part of what is driving Karen Koberger absolutely crazy. We're talking banana complaints, vegan meal grievances, inmate threats, demands for transfers, and a level of entitlement that you'd expect from someone like, I don't know, Prince William, maybe, but not from Karen Koberger. But yes, from a mall Karen screaming at a Starbucks barista, that I could see. But coming from a convicted quadruple killer, does this guy have any right to complain about anything? If I'm doing my best Nancy Grace, I would say, I think not. I think not at all. So let's get into how this all started. Koberger transitioning into this Karen of sorts. Even before prison, it was Brian Koberger who showed these elements of entitlement, control, rigidity, and obsession with routine. His former classmates, it goes all the way back to the high school days and even before, they described him as overly rigid. This is a direct quote, easily irritated, and another word that was used to describe him, arrogant. And while in jail awaiting the trial that never happened because he ultimately took this plea deal, which is what landed him in prison to begin with and why he's having this series of complaints, he said in this jail in Latah County, where Moscow, Idaho is, that the commissary was like a university dining hall to him. That's what he expected. He expected all sorts of choices and things of that nature. And that was just not to be. He refused certain meals, asked for special replacement meals. This is back in the jail in Latah County, and complained about, of all things, food texture, which foreshadows the recent Karen meltdowns that we've seen. They seem to be magnified with the magnitude of his crime and the conviction, and now being on quote unquote a bigger stage, which is this maximum security institution in Boise, Idaho, right on the outskirts of Boise, Idaho. So upon entering the IMSI, as it is known, the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, Brian Koberger was immediately placed in J Block. That is for high profile, high risk inmates. A corrections officer was quoted as saying, and this is a quote, "This is not a place where anyone thrives. It is designed to break you down." Being locked down initially 23 hours a day and stripped of every layer of control that he once had. And this is where some psychologists believe that the unraveling we're seeing now, where it all began. 3 weeks into prison, this is complaint number one, Brian Koberger, or really five, had filed five formal complaints. The first big one related to food, and he wrote, and these are direct quotes here, "I have, on several occasions, not received all items of food on my tray. The nutritional standard is not being upheld unless I receive my full tray." And then he goes on to say, "The policy book confirms missing items must be replaced. I wish to, without exception, receive these replacements." I wonder what he's getting, by the way, because he is vegan in Latah County in the jail by Moscow, Idaho. He was getting a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I wonder if they're forgetting the jelly, forgetting the peanut butter. Who knows? But he literally cited the policy manual. And what's interesting about that, if you recall, when he was pulled over by a Washington State University, which is where he was getting his PhD, by a Washington State University police officer right near where he was living at the campus of Washington State U, he was having this sort of debate, an argument with the patrol officer then for the university about how far at a traffic stop, about how far he could extend into the intersection. And he was citing Pennsylvania law. He had read the Pennsylvania law and was citing this now to the police officer working at Wazoo. It was weird then. It gets weirder now. And again, in terms of the food, keep in mind that he is a strict vegan, which could be amplifying his sense of deprivation and control. Now, complaint number two that we've heard about, the big one, and the one that has made him go viral lately, from Karen Koberger. He does not like the bananas being given to him at the IMSI. Personally, I don't like my bananas too green. Like them a little more on the yellow side, a little softer. But that's just one man's taste in bananas. A retired homicide detective quoted as saying, "You can't make this stuff up. The guy is a quadruple killer, and he's complaining about bananas not being the type he likes. They're not the kind that he likes." We don't know, meaning the greater public, we don't know if it's because of bruising, ripeness, or variety, but this is the complaint that has now dubbed him Jailhouse Karen. And I wonder if he has heard about this. Certainly the inmates who surround him there at the IMSI, they certainly are aware of this. Now, he's been getting some threats. And he filed a handwritten report claiming that there are, and I quote here, minute by minute verbal threats and harassment. Now, the first days that he was in there, there was just nonstop banging. He complained about that initially. And I spoke to the warden of this particular institution who said he expected this. What he told me was, look, there are always these threats. There's always this potential for prison justice. But typically, the inmates, who are people just like you and I, for the most part, maybe Karen Koberger is the exception, but there are really crazed people in these institutions. But for the most part, they get bored of just banging all day. And he says eventually it goes away and eventually you're just forgotten about to live in essentially isolation, which is what Brian Koberger is doing. But apparently these inmates with Brian Koberger have not stopped the verbal threats or harassment. It continues, and he continues to complain about it. Inmates, he said, threatened to sexually assault him, saying that I'll B-slap you. And the only, I can't say this, it rhymes with grass. He says that the inmate said that the only, it rhymes with grass, it has the word in there, that they will be eating, the other inmates, is Karen Koberger. So they are not so much veiled threats, but verbal assaults. And he is now not only filed a complaint, a formal complaint about this and the disruptive behavior in his block, but he has demanded a transfer. And I wonder what they're going to do about that, because they do have to keep him safe. So will Karen Koberger eventually be transferred? I don't know. He wrote that he needs to be moved because J Block is also too loud, too threatening, too stressful. Here's a little advice. Maybe think about this before you go and murder four innocent people. And by the way, I always think of these victims, and I typically always say them at the beginning of every show with Kaylee, Madison, Zanna, and Ethan. But I also think about occasionally Koberger's own family, his mother and sister, who I happened to sit very close to at the sentencing, and they were both sobbing and look like their lives are completely ruined because of their brother slash son. And it's part of this ripple effect of crime, especially these really heinous crimes. And, you know, of course, it's the Idaho Four, but now these family members have to read about what a complete nut job and Karen, the brother son, is in prison instead of just going away quietly. He's now requested that he be moved from J Block to B Block or an other protective area. We actually visited B Block. It was so quiet in there. I said, are the inmates all out on the yard? He said, no, they're all in their cells. They just sit in there all day. So I was actually in B Block. Eerie. It's eerie how quiet it is because you're literally in your cell 23 hours a day. How you do not lose your mind and just start banging your head against the cement walls, I will never know. But it just goes day after day after day after day. You must feel like a tortoise in there, those guys that live to like 175 years old, because time must move. I mean, you look down, you look up, and it's the same time. You look down, you look up, and it's the same time. That is his life right now. And maybe that's why he's staying so busy complaining, because it's giving him something to do. Prison consultants who were quoted by various media outlets say no way in hell they satisfy his request. In other words, he's staying on J Block and not moving. A former prison minister is also quoted in the media saying, a snitch who is weak will never survive. This is coming from a former prison minister. A snitch who is weak will never survive. He's now telling on the inmates, essentially. This guy is playing with fire. Maybe he wants to play with fire. The message, though, that is going to be sent in Idaho is, you're not special. You're just a jailhouse prison Karen. You're not safe in there, and you're not being moved. So prison officials thus far have not budged, not even an iota of an inch. One of the other complaints is he's not getting his beauty rest. Karen Koberger is not getting proper sleep. He says that the taunting is relentless, and he says he's losing sleep, losing weight, and losing sanity. The question is, could this guy lose any more sanity? I don't know, because he was pretty insane to begin with. But again, all things to consider before murdering four people in cold blood. Now, Steve Gonzalez, may his daughter rest in eternal peace. He spoke out probably the loudest. And I don't want to say that he's getting satisfaction out of this, but maybe he's getting a little satisfaction or comfort knowing that this guy's having a really hard time. Of course, the other option that he pled away from was death by potentially firing squad, but was a death penalty, and he evaded that. But now it looks like it's going to be a lifetime of this. And every time I think of that B Block experience where I was physically was there, it's one thing to hear about it and another thing to be there and hear the clanking and clinking of the metal doors and just the absolute silence in between that, because the inmates are just literally sealed, hermetically sealed shut in those cells with those little slat windows and nothing but a barren metal bed with a little tiny mattress and that metal potty where they do everything in that cell. The only time they're let out is the yard where they're isolated in cages. And I don't even know at this point if Karen is being allowed out or not. But in response to all this complaining now about the inmates and the inability to sleep, they just say that the official prison word is that the inmates are simply trying to communicate with Brian. It is a form of communication. So in essence, you can read between the lines there, and even the bureaucracy of the prison is now trolling Brian Koberger. And I don't know, for a guy that committed this sick a crime, I don't wish death on anyone, but his time should be hard. And it sounds like it's incredibly hard right now. A possible psychological breakdown, it appears to be happening, at least incrementally. Prison experts say it's because he's unable to adjust. He wasn't stable to begin with. And he's simply just not psychologically equipped for prison culture. Now, there's a big street code and a street culture in there. And Brian Koberger was getting a PhD. So he's not one of these guys that's been conditioned, you know, on the rough and tumble streets of where I grew up, Highland Park, New Jersey, let's say. No, he's from Pennsylvania and he got a master's degree and a PhD. A kid, by the way, my hometown is pretty nice. But he just does not come from the street. And they say that this inability to conform to the prison code and prison lifestyle and this rigidity on his part is what's causing his mind to start to diminish. And he's starting to, for lack of a better phrase, freak out. I can't wait to get in a car and just realize that I can breathe like a free human being. Not everyone can do that. If you're in prison, you're counting those breaths. You don't know when you're going to be shanked. And that's what this guy is obviously worried about as well right now. He has no control and no audience is what one former inmate says. And that is devastating for someone like him. And another person saying that nobody's asking for his theories, that he is irrelevant. So there's been sort of a loss of identity by Karen Koberger, and he's trying to negotiate that in his own mind. And so far, he's been unable to do that. Now, there's tragedy and irony here. We talked about this. This is a man who destroyed four young lives. And keep in mind, Ethan was a triplet, so he destroyed a set of triplets, which just breaks my heart. Not to mention, again, Zanna and Maddie and Kaylee and their families. But now, while they're dealing with lifelong grief, Karen Koberger is focusing his attention literally on bananas, vegan meals, noise. You know, my dad was a psychiatrist. I think every psychiatrist in the world has one of those white noisemakers outside their office. Maybe he needs one of those. They're probably contraband and you can't have it. And I'm not going to send it to him because I'm not helping him out. But I bet you he sure could use a white noisemaker right about now. He's also in the middle of all the inmate gossip. Now, his entire world, and I want you guys to really think about this, has now gone from all the possibilities that are afforded to a graduate student in criminology. He could have been a professor. He could have been a crime scene investigator. He could have done all these things with his life, but now he is reduced to living in a 7 by 10 foot cell, a 7 by 10 foot cell. He has that one metal toilet. He has a tray of food that comes in and out of a slat. He does not sit and eat with anyone. And then while he's trying to eat, he's got a chorus of inmates who are just harassing and haranguing him through the vents. They're big, heavy steel doors that slide all the way shut. And those doors have just the smallest little, what appears to be, it's not bulletproof, but you get what I'm saying, really thick glass just on one end. So you're staring almost exclusively from the inside. You're staring at this metal and you're just hearing rumblings through those vents. Now, you should probably be thankful that he is trapped in there, because if he was out at any point, I think his life is in danger. And there's going to be a point where they've got to let this guy out. It may not be for a couple more years, but memories are long inside of that prison, and inmates right now are salivating. But again, this is a man who once studied criminology, thinking that he could outsmart the world. And now he is reduced to writing, and I quote, the nutritional standard is not being upheld. So he's got all the time in the world to read the Idaho Maximum Security Institution's policy handbook. He's obviously done that. There is a library there. I don't even know if he gets to walk to the library because it is a fairly good distance away. I don't know that he gets to go there. I've heard he has a pad, like a tablet, but man, that dude's life is hell. And when he went in, he's only 30 years old. When he gets out, he's going to have a tag on his toe, meaning he's going to die in there. And if it's not done by another prisoner, and I'm not wishing that, but I'm saying if it's not done by another prisoner and he lives a full life, it's going to be 50 long, long, long years for Karen Koberger. As always, please hit the like and subscribe button. Let me know, Mayor Ed Koch, my dad loved this. May my dad rest in peace. But my dad loved the fact that Ed Koch used to walk around New York City asking people in New York City, how am I doing, when he was mayor? So let me know how I'm doing. If I'm awful, please don't let me know. If you appreciate these shorter videos that go a little deeper into particular issues, let me know in the comment section. We'll pin a YouTube comment with a question to get your feedback. But again, hit like. Hit subscribe. The holidays are coming up. I've got a book by the same title, Surviving the Survivor. My mother's a child Holocaust survivor. She dealt with the worst of the worst, and she's the most optimistic person I know. It's a great time of year. We read it via Audible. You can get it on Audible. You can also get it anywhere books are sold, but makes for a beautiful holiday gift. Consider it. Here is, look at this. All I have to do is this. There's a QR code right there. It's on Audible. You'll enjoy it. Your own mother, if she's with us still, will enjoy it. Your children will enjoy it. And you know what? They'll learn how to overcome really difficult. You know what? Maybe we should send a copy to Brian Koberger. He could actually learn a thing or two. Man, would I love to see Carm interview Brian Koberger. That would be fascinating. Again, let me know what you're thinking. Like, subscribe. We've got a Patreon page. Love you, America. Justice. Always for Kaylee, Maddie, Zanna, Ethan. You did not deserve this. Karen Koberger does deserve this. Love y'all.